listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Semifinals coming up on Friday, Alabama taking on Cincinnati, Cotton Bowl in Arlington, Texas. Let's go out to the Progressive Guests line, get a preview on Alabama. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. The voice of the Crimson Tide, Mr. Eli Gold, joining us here on Sports Map Radio. How are you, sir?
I am well, Tony. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Can I just tell you real quick, when I was coming home from Thanksgiving from visiting my folks in Florida, and we cut through, I live in Nashville, when I cut through Alabama through the state roads, and I happened to do it on the Saturday of the Iron Bowl, and I got to listen to you and your team do the whole game all the way back home, and nobody was on the road. It was one of the coolest experiences to drive through most of the state of Alabama listening to you and your team call that Iron Bowl. It was a real treat. You guys do a wonderful job.
Well, thank you. You're very kind, but you're right. In the state of Alabama, Iron Bowl Saturday is like it's like Christmas Day. Everybody's home, glued to a TV or a radio, and nobody's out on the roads. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Exactly. All right, let's talk about this team. And I've been saying this about Alabama this season. When we go into the college football season, we tend to compare teams to other teams. We say, how good is Ohio State compared to Michigan? Or how is Clemson compared to Ohio State? But with Alabama, it seems like we compare Alabama to other Alabama teams. How is this team compared to other national championship level teams that Nick Saban has had?
Well, you know, I don't know how to compare them. It's a much younger team. Let's start with that. Let's just go to the facts and forget the subjectiveness for the moment. This was one of the youngest teams that Nick Saban has ever had at the University of Alabama. So that was something he's had to deal with. You know, you lose, you know, eight guys a year to the National Football League, if not more than that. Well, the next thing you know, after a while, you know, the numbers, you end up with a bunch of young guys, very talented guys, but very young guys. So that's probably been, you know, the big thing this year. You didn't have a Mac Jones. You didn't have a Devontae Smith as far as experience is concerned. You lost three offensive linemen who are now starting in the National Football League. So that was probably the biggest difference. As far as talent is concerned, well, this is obviously a very, very talented team. And Alabama is one of those teams that really benefits from the transfer portal. We learned that this year. You know, people don't necessarily leave Alabama because you want to stay here and be and do what you can do. But there are plenty of other guys who want to come to Alabama. Look, Jameson Williams, our second-best receiver this year, was a transfer from Ohio State. Our number one tackler, Henry To'o To'o, was a transfer from the University of Tennessee. So that was another thing we learned, is how Nick Saban uses the transfer portal to benefit his ball club.
Let's talk about Cincinnati here a little bit. They have a very good secondary. Saban has said that this is a very, very talented group. What is other Alabama players saying? And what has Bryce Young been saying about what Cincinnati does in that secondary?
Well, it's the same thing. I mean, between Bryant and Gardner, you've got arguably the two best cornerbacks in America. But, you know, there are a lot of things that come to mind. I remember a number of years ago when Alabama lined up against LSU and the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, you remember him.
Yeah.
You know, the guy was obviously one of the absolute best defensive backs in the country. And what did Alabama do? They went right at him. They went right at him. Play after play, they went right at him. And that worked very, very well as Bama won the title. Just a few weeks ago in the SEC championship game, you know, let's face it, the Georgia Bulldogs had a once-in-a-lifetime kind of defense. But when you started breaking it down and preparing, in my case, for the broadcast, or in the coach's case, preparing for the game, you realize that as great as Georgia's defense was and still is, they really at that point had not seen an offense the likes of Alabama. And it obviously, you know, turned out, I mean, here's a school that had given up 88 points all year in the case of Georgia, and they gave up 41 on that day alone. Well, you know, Cincinnati is a very, very, very good team. Very good team. Take nothing from them. But, you know, I just wonder how many times have they seen an offense the likes of what Alabama can throw at them on Friday. So it'll be a very intriguing game, but our players are totally, totally respectful of what the Cincinnati Bearcats have done. You don't get to, I don't care who you play, I don't care what conference, I don't care, Power Five, Group of Five, whatever. If you've made it to the playoffs as voted by a very intelligent committee, you don't get there by accident. You've earned your way there.
Give us a little insight into how this coaching staff takes this team in a week of preparation, because that Iron Bowl was a tough, hard-fought loss. There were a lot of issues with Alabama. People were ready to go, hey, we're not really sure about this. This game against Georgia, this is historic defense. And then they go to Atlanta and they put on that show that reminds us that they're Alabama. That's a week between games. How do they go from saying, here's a lot of problems that we saw against Auburn, here's how we fix it, and here's how we dominate Georgia?
Well, you know, it's an outstanding coaching staff. I mean, look at all the NFL head coaches that Alabama has on their coaching staff right now. You know, Nick Saban, Bill O'Brien, Doug Marrone. I mean, the list goes on and on. It is an outstanding, outstanding coaching staff. So, you know, that's what they do, and they do the same thing every week. Yeah, they won at Auburn in a last-minute drive down the field. But they found a way to win. The players have, you know, that ability, as we always compare it to a heavyweight boxer. You know, they pick themselves up off the canvas to throw that one haymaker and knock the other guy out. Well, you know, they found the way to do that. They, you know, the best thing, you're going to think this is crazy, Tony, but the best thing to happen to Alabama this year was losing at Texas A&M.
Yeah.
That was the best thing that happened. It got everybody zeroed back in, dialed back in, and the coaches took over from there, and it continued. And again, the Georgia game, you're not going to, I don't care who you think the greatest team in life is, you're going to lose some games. You're going to, you know, I don't care if you're an Atlanta Braves fan, a Yankees fan. I don't care if you're a fan of the great Montreal Canadiens of years gone by. You know, you're going to have that occasional day. You know, look at the Lakers. You know, you're going to have that occasional day where you're just not at your best. And you find a way to win, and then you learn from that to get much better for the next game. And that's what Alabama does.
You brought up Jamison Williams, and obviously he's going to be impactful. John Michi is out. How is that going to affect the passing game for Bryce Young?
Well, it won't help having Michi on the sidelines. There's no question about that. You're not going to be better without him than you are with him. However, there are many young, uber-talented wide receivers that Alabama has, not to mention the tight ends who can catch passes. So, you know, there are guys who are going to have to step up. It's the next man up mentality. You know, it's the next man up. Is the team going to be better without John Metchie? No, certainly not. But, you know, they're not going to be chopped liver either. I mean, there's some very, very, very talented, you know, Slade Bolden has played well all year, so he's still there behind Jamison Williams. Then you have Trayshawn Holden and Ajay Hall. I mean, all these guys that Alabama has who maybe haven't gotten a ton of playing time, but we've seen them on the practice field. We've seen them in some of these games where they have played. And trust me, they're very, very talented. So, you know, the next man has to step up. That's just part of the deal.
Cincinnati's Jerome Ford has had a very good season. He used to play for Alabama. How much playing time did he have when he was with the Crimson Tide? How much do we know about him?
Oh, a lot about him. But not a ton. You know, at Alabama, and I say this not to sound pompous, but you have to wait your turn.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, look at Mac Jones, who's now obviously the quarterback for the Patriots. Last year, he gets a chance to finally play, and he wins the national title. But he had to wait behind Jalen Hurts. He had to wait behind Tua Tagovailoa. And then finally he got his chance, and he took advantage of it. Well, Ford's the same thing. He had to wait, and I guess he felt he was better off playing immediately somewhere else. And you've got to respect that decision. A very talented young man, no question about it. And, he's done a heck of a job for Cincinnati. He's going to be psyched up to show the Tide that he should have been playing the whole time when he was in Tuscaloosa. So it'll be interesting to see how he does. But he's a hugely talented running back.
He's the voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide, Mr. Eli Gold. Thank you so much for joining us, and I always love talking to you, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tony. Good to be with you.
You got it. Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide, as they get ready for Cincinnati. Coming up on Friday, it is going to be at Arlington, at the Cotton Bowl in Jerry's World. And again, as you mentioned, you know, they're not taking Cincinnati lightly, and they shouldn't. And I don't think Saban is ever going to be doing that with anybody. He's just not that kind of coach, especially as he said. You go 13-0. It doesn't matter. Group of five, power five, 13-0 is 13-0. So again, this could be interesting. I don't know if Cincinnati keeps this close, but because I agree with him at the same time. I mean, this is a secondary that is really good, but they've never played anybody like Alabama. Georgia had not seen an offense like Alabama when it clicked. And until they got to the SEC title game, that's when it showcased. And that's what I think is going to be the difference. It is Wake Up Call, Tony D, Ron Culver. Hit us up on Twitter, @TonyDRadio, @RonCulver. That is Ron with two N's as we continue on Wake Up Call.